Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18, to chapter 9 and verse 2. Why and oh. Why and oh. Now, when we look at this passage, it's quite clear that Jeremiah is throwing his imagination forward. He's looking forward in his imagination to the events following or during the captivity. And he pictures this, and he pictures it for his hearers, the people of Judah at this time. And he describes for them in graphic terms what it will be like. Now, there are some difficulties for me here. The first difficulty is to know exactly who is speaking when. I see Jeremiah speaking here very clearly. I can see him speaking, putting words, as it were, into the mouth of the Jews themselves. I can see hear the Jews speaking here. But above all, I can hear God speaking here. I can see God's words here. Let me just read the passage to you. O my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Well, it's very clear here that it's Jeremiah speaking, and speaking in terms of the people. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Jeremiah is allowing the people, making the people, forcing the people to see what it will be like in Babylon. And then I believe we have God speaking. I think it's Jeremiah speaking for himself too, but I believe it's God speaking. Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? And then we have a summary. The harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we are not saved. The Jews have been given every opportunity. God has given every opportunity to Judah and to Jerusalem to repent and reform and return. And the prophet has been preaching, but it's all over now. This is how Jeremiah is picturing it. And condemnation, wrath awaits them. But then Jeremiah is moved. Or is it God moved? Or is it God moving Jeremiah? Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers, so that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people. Jeremiah 8, verse 18 to 9:2. And you can see why I've given the title, Why and Oh. Why have they done this? Why have they gone away? Oh, that they would. Oh, that they would come back to me. Oh, that they would respond. Oh, that they would return. The pleading, the questioning, the wondering, the agony of it all. Now, I said I had some problems here, and one of the problems is this technical question of who is speaking when exactly. But there's a far bigger problem for me. I am rebuked by this passage. I am challenged by this passage. I should be utterly disturbed by this passage, moved by this passage. Here am I, a preacher. I am supposed to confront unbelievers with the gospel. I'm supposed to confront the modern church with its worldliness, with its paganism. And I hope, in some measure at least, I do. But it's easy to preach. It's easy to write. It's easy to declaim. Oh, to be moved like Jeremiah was. Like God is, I believe here. That's the point. Whoever is speaking, God or Jeremiah, look at the agony of soul. Oh, that they would move. Oh, that they would come back. Oh, that they would respond. I find this in the New Covenant too. Look at Paul, Romans 9:1-5. Look at Paul, Romans 10:1, longing for Jews to be saved. Go so far, I cannot understand it, as to say, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my people's sake, that is, the Jews. Oh, why will they not come? But it's not only Paul, is it? Romans 9:1-5, Romans 10:1, is Christ. Oh, Jerusalem, but note the O. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, how often I would have gathered you, but you were not willing. How often? I long to see you saved. Why will you die? Why such agony? Why such loss? Who will come for me? These are the words of Jeremiah here, but I believe Christ speaks like that in the gospel. And it's not just Jeremiah. And he's not just picturing the people. It is God himself who's doing it. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ, Christ's love, compels us. What does that mean? Is it love for Christ? Love to Christ? The love of Christ, Christ's own love. 2 Corinthians 5:19-62, God is pleading. God is begging. God longs to see sinners saved. Romans 10:21, all day long, says God, have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient people. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads sinners to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:3, God will have all men to be saved. Now I know the standard answers, or explanations, inverted commas, of some of these texts. I don't want any explanation around them. God shows he has a longing for sinners to be saved. Christ showed it. God shows it. Jeremiah shows it. The prophets show it. Paul showed it. I want to show it. I want to feel it. I want to feel the burden of it. You evangelicals who are bringing in paganism, I want to love you and weep over you and want you to come back to God. You unbelievers who will not be saved, it's not simply I want to tell you that. I want to be moved and love you so much that I weep over you until you are converted. This is the challenge of this text to me. It's a reproof to me. It's easy to condemn. It's easy to confront. It's easy to challenge. Oh, to be moved. 9:1. Oh, that my head. 9:2. Oh, that I had in the desert. Verse 18 as well. Oh, my comforter in sorrow. And what a solemn thought. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Here have I been preaching these things and writing these things, and others have, I find, over many years now. And what's happened? Paganism is rampant in the churches. The evangelicals are opening their arms to the pagans. Oh, God, deliver us from it. And what can I say about the unbelievers who've listened to me? How few there have been converted. Oh, will you not come, if you're an unbeliever, will you not come to Christ now? Here is a man crying out. He uses words like crushed and angered and mourning. Why? The Lord have mercy upon us. This is a very moving passage. Won't it move you, unbeliever, to come to Christ? Won't it move you, evangelical? If you will go to paganism, look at the agony you will bring upon yourself and upon the succeeding generations. Will God's mercy, will God's pleading not move you? Will this little discourse be lost in the wind? The harvest is past, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We still will go on in our paganism. We still will go on in our unbelief. God, deliver us from it. Oh, Lord, awaken us. Move us. Move sinners to cry out for mercy. Move evangelicals to turn away from their paganism and come back to your word and establish again the ecclesia, the true spiritual people of God, to the glory of your name. Oh, God, move us. Thank you that you are moved. Oh, that in this gospel day, this love of God may sweep, draw many into Christ and rectify and reform your churches. for Christ's sake. Amen.